Good afternoon. I'd like to call this House Special Committee on Military Veterans Affairs in order. It is now 1:02 p.m. We are sitting in the Gruenberg Room number 120 here in the Capitol in Juneau. Present, we have Representative Rauscher, Representative Nelson, Representative Story, Representative Shaw, and myself, Representative Chris Tuck. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Please mute your cell phones and remember to speak into the microphone because we do have Robin Stevens with House Records documenting today's meeting, and it's being done remotely. In the back, I also want to thank Tom Raymond for being here with us moderating the meeting. So today's agenda is a continuation of House Bill 144, establishing the Alaska Military Affairs Commission. We had our first hearing last Tuesday on April 13th. And we would like to open it up to more invited testimony and then go on from there into public testimony. And so we have Matt Boren, Executive Director of Association of Defense Communities on Teams in the room here. And then we have Jomo Stewart, Project Manager for Energy and Military for the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. So I will start with you, Mr. Boren. If you'd please state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Matthew Boren. I'm the Executive Director for the Association of Defense Communities. I'm sorry, is anybody else getting feedback or is that just me?
Words sounded pretty good on our end. We might have an internet connection problem here. We've been having it a little bit today.
We'll try it this way. If you hear a screaming five-year-old in the background, I apologize. I want to start first by talking a little bit about the Association of Defense Communities, because I think that'll give you some background of why I think this particular legislation is important. So the Association of Defense Communities is a 50-year-old organization, a nonprofit based here in D.C., and we got our start back in the day when DOD could close military bases without asking for approval. So they didn't have to go to Congress and ask for a base realignment and closure. They could just padlock the gate and throw the community the keys and say good luck. And this happened quite a bit. And as a result, a lot of communities across the country where this had happened got together and said, what do we do now? How do we replace this gaping hole in our community and the 1,000 X jobs that picked up and left? And that's how ADC got its start. That's who we were. We were these cities and counties looking how to redevelop. So issues such as land transfer, environmental cleanup, and really economic redevelopment. If you fast forward to today, our communities are almost exclusively those that host active military bases. So if you point to a base pretty much anywhere on the map of the U.S., we have a member there. And again, it's the same type of organization. It's the city, it's the county. A lot of times it's a chamber of commerce, or like in Fairbanks, a Tiger Team, or the North Star Borough and others like that. And really what happened is communities, it kind of dawned on everyone that they couldn't take their base for granted, that they really had to be doing the advocacy, the partnership work full time. You needed to be able to treat your installation like you would an Amazon HQ2 or a Ford Motor Plant or what have you. You had to be looking at it through the lens of economic development. And so our members have become pretty sophisticated. You heard testimony yesterday of all of the things that the city of Fairbanks and the organizations there are doing to support those installations. I've been up there twice now. And can attest to the great work that they're doing. And they're not alone. Communities across the country are doing this. They're investing larger and larger amounts of resources and dollars into their defense sector. And this doesn't mean the base, but they're looking at the infrastructure that needs. They're looking at the schools. They're looking at the spouse employment opportunities, roads, workforce development. How is your university partnering with that base to further the mission? What other types of research contracts can that bring in? What other types of missions can you attract? Really, at the end of the day, as I said, it's about economic development. It's no longer playing defense, waiting for a round of BRAC to throw something together ad hoc in response.
This is about attracting new missions, which Alaska is right now in a position to do and is doing mostly because of your strategic location. But there's an opportunity there to build upon that. And that requires, as you all know, a coordinated effort, not just at the local level, but at the state level. Somebody has to coordinate all of the defense industry, the defense missions, the personnel. What about the housing issue? What about the schools? It can't be done by the local resources alone, and DOD is only going to do so much. So as communities across the country started looking at all of these issues, more and more they've created state-level offices responsible for this coordination. And you see, I think there was testimony yesterday, you have in a report we did a couple of years ago, there were 35 states that have an entity like this. That's more today. I think it's probably in the 40s. Some are more advanced than others, but I'll tell you, it's absolutely critical. Somebody has to be that point person when you're talking with DOD, when you're talking with the Boeings and the other defense contractors. Somebody has to be that belly button that somebody can turn to, that DOD can turn to when there's an issue. Who can be that mover and shaker at the state level to make sure all of the communities that host these installations in your state are saying the same thing, are on the same message, especially when it comes to state legislative issues like spouse licensure and other key economic development, workforce-related issues. Somebody needs to be maintaining that. And so you're seeing it. Your counterparts in Montana, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, California, Maryland, you know, everywhere, even in Arkansas, now has an office like that. And usually it starts with a commission, a legislative body created by the state to do this on a volunteer basis, to work with usually the TAG or other offices. But I'll tell you, the evolution and the point I would encourage you to get to is the creation of a full-time position, that their day job is looking at how to increase and improve the defense sector of Alaska. It's a big growth opportunity for you. And, you know, DOD is looking at lots of stuff that is not strategic right now. Like quality of life. They're looking at housing, child education. And I can tell you, it doesn't take too many issues for all of a sudden a community or a state gets a bad reputation about not being able to provide those things. And I'm not saying Alaska has that by any means. I think, you know, everyone still likes to go to Alaska in the service. At least when I was in the Army, I know people loved it. But if you don't have that person who can quickly turn and address issues that DOD raises like this, it can become a challenge. As you know, narratives can get built pretty quickly, and that can really have a detrimental impact on future growth. So I won't take up too much of the committee's time because I know you've heard a lot of testimony. I don't want to repeat too much of what you heard yesterday. But you've looked at the economic impact reports. You know that it's billions of dollars worth of investment in your state each year that DOD brings, and that's going to increase. And at the end of the day, you're going to need an organization, a point person, a point body that can coordinate that, especially in such a large geographical state like Alaska.
Thank you very much, Mr. Warren.
With that, questions?
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm going to take some questions here in just a moment, but just let you know that, now that's your discretion, but it did sound a little bit better with your headphones not on earlier. But I know you have a little one running around, so at your discretion. Representative Rauscher has a question.
We'll give it a shot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering that we've talked a lot about the Tiger Team in Fairbanks. And my first question would be to ask whether or not, through the chair, whether or not it would be, if there's anything available like that in Anchorage for the bases that are in Anchorage, or whether this Tiger Team suffices the whole state, or Delta, because Delta has one right outside of Delta there, a military base. So I'm just wondering, are there other teams available in the state like the Tiger Team in Fairbanks?
I would like to have the bill sponsor come up and answer that question, but I believe that the Tiger Team is unique to Fairbanks, and this is trying to take that that model and apply it statewide. Representative?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, I don't need to answer the question anymore. That was what I was going to say. The Tiger Team is Fairbanks specific and has a number of different stakeholders at the local municipal level. It was brought on by brought together by a mayor about 10 years ago or so. And Anchorage, I don't know off the top of my head if it has something like that, but I do not believe so. And certainly the Tiger Team is advocating for the Fairbanks area and borough specifically and the economic impacts there. And so this, like the chair said, would extend that model statewide to try to bring those stakeholders together and make sure there's that economic development coordinated voice, as the invited testimony spoke about, that importance of coordination.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Any questions for our testifier, Mr. Boren, while we're here? Representative Story.
Yes, thank you, Chair Tuck. Through the chair, Mr. Boren, I was wondering if most of these associations, if they have paid staff, and how many is typical if they do?
Many of them do. I'd say just probably a little over half of the states have a paid person. Usually it's no more than two or three, depending on a state that looks probably similar to the military footprint you have. It would be one person, maybe within a system.
Follow-up?
Yes, follow-up, please. So in the states that do not have a paid person, how does this work so the work gets done and someone's attending to it?
Not very well. it becomes pretty ad hoc, and it's at the end of the day, what it ends up doing is leaving communities to their own devices. And so communities end up hiring their own consultants, their own lobbyists, talking about their own missions, and that can come at a cross-purpose with other communities in a single state. And when you're looking at issues like COVID-19, climate change, and all of these other types of regional issues, it can't be solved within a fence line without the fence line. It has to be looked at as a state regional issue.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I got a question from Representative Shaw.
Mr. Boren, through the chair, is there any reason that we can't blend some of these commissions together, considering that there's such a huge overlap between what the ACAS does, the Alaska Civilian Armed Services Team, the AMAC, the Alaska Military Affairs Commission, and what the Alaska Military the Joint Services Commission do statewide? I understand that the value of this commission specifically tends to relate more to the economic benefit, and again, social benefit, which crosses all of these commissions. Would there be a benefit if somewhere along the way in the future we could see a blending of all of these into one, and that way we could really cut back on the overhead in many respects and still accomplish the same goal?
Absolutely. I think you need to look at your defense sector as a whole. And that doesn't just mean the industry and DOD, but really somebody who can look at the veterans, the families, the guard, the association, you know, all of that as a holistic sight picture. There needs to be a single body or a single office that can do that, in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Follow up? Okay, thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Boren before we go on to our next invited testifier? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Boren, for making yourself available. Really appreciate it. Our next invited testifier is Jomo Stewart, who is he's not available. Okay, we got Jomo Stewart. He's the project manager for energy and military underneath the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. Mr. Stewart, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can. Good to hear your voice again, Mr. Stewart. If you go ahead and please put your name and affiliation on the record, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, my name is Jomo Stewart, and I'm the energy and military project manager here at the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. We have provided written testimony, so I won't repeat it all. But FEDC does support House Bill 144 and the establishment of a Military Affairs Commission for the state of Alaska. You know, the FEDC, we actually did some economic analysis many years ago that indicated that our own military installations were a very sizable component of our economy, up to about a third. And an anecdotal research indicated that on a statewide basis, particularly down in the Anchorage Bowl, that it accounted for about a tenth of the economy. That both historical research and anecdotal research was backed up recently by Mr. Nolan Cloud, who I believe you heard from at your last meeting with the Center for Economic Development, who put similar numbers to the economic impact of the military across the state of Alaska. And so for a long time, FEDC has worked to both secure its military assets, recognizing their importance to our local economy, secure Alaska's military assets, but also try to figure out how we could build upon that industry for the greater benefit of the state. The Tiger Team has come up a number of times as a potential model for a military affairs commission. But if I may, I'd like to kind of flash back a little bit in history. There was a time where a governor of the state of Alaska accepted an offer from some of the retirees, military retirees here in the state of Alaska, to serve as basically a little advisory council to him regarding the military. That became, I believe, the AMFAST. And really what the AMFAST was, again, and my boss would probably be a better one to describe this more fully, but what it was some very high-level brass who had retired in the state of Alaska, admirals, multi-star generals, who both had an insight into our own economy, our own state, but also deep insight into the workings of the military all the way up to and through the Pentagon and the interactions between the military leadership and the civilian leadership of the military. And they offered to come together to offer that governor advice on how to protect the military assets here in the state, but also build upon them as we saw more missions and expansion of missions and bases. So really what we're talking about is kind of a, hopefully, to go back to that model, recognizing, again, the enormous importance that the military plays within our state and the opportunities that it offers to the state. So there is a bit of a distinction between, say, the ACAST, the old AMFAST, and what we're talking about here with the AMAC. You know, again, with the importance of long-term planning, closer coordination with communities, recognizing the commercial potential relative to the military, but also in giving good advice to the legislature and the governor's office on how all those things can interplay, you know, to the benefit or to avoid risk regarding those assets. Reviewing the bill and thinking about this Military Affairs Commission, personally, I see three concerns, two that are relatively minor, but one that's major. Regarding my two minor ones, you know, the A, B, and C of them would be how you constitute this commission, the resourcing you give to this commission, and if or how that good advice is used. So again, the first, the A and the C, I think are relatively minor. Again, we have some really good people across the state of Alaska, so we have the resources, the human resources to well constitute a military affairs commission. And I do believe, again, with the heightened interest we have both here in the legislature and in the governor's office, that again, that I feel confident that we'll be able to put their good advice to use. The concern I have, the major concern, is B, and we touched on it just a moment here, and that's resourcing. I was concerned at the last meeting where we talked about not staffing or not providing resources to this group. I can tell you that at the Tiger Team, and you'd have to talk to the mayor about this directly, but I don't know that they make any specific allotment to support the Tiger Team. What I do know is that the mayor's staff does attend, and so there's a tangential resourcing. I do attend. And so the borough does is a major funder for FEDC. My boss is part of the Tiger team, but they allow me to come because I'm staff, and I will help effectuate whatever it is that they decide on to try to advance the things they ask, you know, they should be advanced, like this commission. As the previous speaker from the Alaska Defense Forum noted, you know, this is a multi-billion dollar industry, has brought multi-billions of dollars into the state of Alaska. And so I don't know that you all need to be sheepish or shy about resourcing a commission that is both looking to safeguard those billions of dollars that are currently being brought into and generated across the state of Alaska, and then chasing billions of dollars more.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stewart. I appreciate it. And I want the record to reflect that Representative Clayman had joined us 10 minutes after 1. So I apologize for not recognizing you earlier, Representative Clayman. Any questions for Mr. Stewart? And so just to clarify, did you have a suggestion, Mr. Stewart, what you would like to see?
No, not a direct suggestion, Mr. Chairman, if I may. What I know is that, again, the AmFast, the original AmFast as I know it, again, was peopled, I believe, entirely with high-level brass. I can tell you on the Tiger team, there actually are no direct military representatives, but we do have people on the Tiger team who do have military experience. My boss, Jim Dotson, again, is former military. We have some other members who are in different civilian capacities now, but again, do have a military background. So they have some understanding, again, about how the military operates, its decision-making process, that interplay in the decision-making process between the Pentagon and the civilian leadership. And so again, it brings that resource and knowledge base to the table. So no, I mean, not a direct recommendation. I just know that, again, where it felt like I did read the roster of the ACAST, and it was just a different constitution, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But again, that part of the real purpose for this kind of grouping is to be able to take that solid knowledge base and put it to the best use possible for economic development purposes within the state of Alaska. So we just want to make sure we do put the best people forward for that enterprise.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Any questions from committee members? Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And through the chair, a question I have, again, I referred this to the previous speaker, Mr. Bourne, is, and I was looking at AMAC and ACAST, and there are some overlaps here that are very specific. On AMAC, one public member with statewide business or economic development experience. On ACAST, one public member with statewide business or economic development experience. Both of those have Department of Military and Veterans Affairs a relationship. And I noted that there is a military DMVA providing administrative support to ACAST. So administrative support already is directly connected to one of these organizations, one of these commissions. And again, my earlier comment of hopefully in the future we can find enough of a crossover that we can blend them and probably save us a few dollars and nothing else, but the administrative part of it, it just gets to be so overwhelming when you've got 15 members on one commission and you got 8 members on another commission. And if we could somehow combine all those, it'll make a big difference. Again, not to over elaborate on it, but a different speaker and probably a different perspective. Thank you.
Any comments on that, Mr. Stewart?
You know, sir, respectfully through the chair, I have been thinking about that since your meeting on Tuesday, and honestly, I agreed with, I believe it was Rep. Hopkins who noted that there are some distinct differences between these different groups. Yes, I can see that there's some overlap as well, but there are some real differences. So I would hope, again, I would leave it to you all to find the way to get the maximum value from each one of these different organizations or these supported groups. Again, for me, it was just I would encourage the legislature as well as the governor's office, the administration, just to properly resource. Well, certainly, I would like them to properly resource any commission that they would establish, but certainly this one.
All right. Thank you very much. The bill sponsor, Representative Hopkins, would you like to respond as well?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stewart is absolutely correct about the importance of staffing these positions and these commissions because of the scope and the sheer size of the state and the different amounts of information that come in regarding military developments within our state. What I believe the conversation centered around on Monday and since then, the different offices and discussions, is not should this be staffed. It is should we create another full-time position to specifically staff this job or this commission. And that's the way it's described in the fiscal note, is having that specific FTE input in place for this. We believe that the governor's office has the capacity to dedicate a staff to this commission as it stands now, moving the economic development team from the Department of Commerce over to the governor's office, having the authority to bring on a specific staff or charge specific staff with this duty in this commission. He has that in place now. He has that economic development team to do this economic development work. That is something I would certainly strongly advocate for the governor to do, would be to say, staffer A, B, C, or F, go deal with this commission. This is now your charge, either full-time or part of their duties. But creating another position in that in the governor's office would be our concern as we try to keep the fiscal impact of new positions in our state down as we struggle with our fiscal climate. I want to just touch on what Mr. Stewart and Mr. Gorin said in regards to coordination, coordinating with municipalities, the university, bringing those voices in. They do have similar economic development seats, but having that coordination outside of what the initial scope is what's critical for the House Bill 144 Commission being created. Additionally, this would be in statute. The ACAST does very good work, but it is also only by administrative order and can be changed by the governor to dovetail better with the Alaska Military Affairs Commission as created under 144, or it can have to start up itself over and over with the new governor and struggle with those efforts. So this would be a more long-term cohesive planning would be the point of the commission under 144.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Tuck. So I'm wondering, and I don't know whether this sounds redundant, but it was raised before by Representative Shaw, and I think maybe a couple of different times in this process, that, can we combine all these to create the same thing? So I'm going to ask the question a little differently. If we create this thing, sorry for calling it a thing, let's say we create this, can we absorb all the other three into it? Is that a different question at all, or is that the same question? And I don't know. But I think it seems to me it's a different question.
Certainly. Representative Rauscher, through the chair. Perfectly good calling it a thing. That's we're all here talking about some stuff, so we might as well have some things as well. I am personally somewhat new to the process of the different commissions. Representative Nelson has some staff who's been working with the Joint Armed Services Commission since its inception, and we can certainly broaden the scope of what they're looking at or allow slightly more flexibility with what they the charges in the bill. We would not be able to, the way the bill is structured now, we would not be able to eliminate the Joint Armed Services Commission, or committee. That is also in statute, but they can work together as needed. And the administrative order creating the Alaska, the ACAST, is under the auspices of the governor himself because it's an administrative order. But those charges can work together in collaboration where if one is not needed. It could be addressed further into the future. The, Representative Shaw put it clearly, the end of last committee was this one is an economic development goal, and that's its creation and what the goal of the commission would be is an economic development standpoint with coordination between municipalities, local entities, and state government as well, legislative and administrative. So as Representative Shaw said, that economic development does make it stand apart from some of the goals that are they're specifically charged with either in statute for the Joint Armed Services Commission or the administrative order for ACAST.
Paul, just on the information that you just gave us, I'm going to ask a question from an uneducated perspective, okay, so if you don't mind. I'm just going to wonder if there are any stats out there which can validate, since these are started up in different states is what I'm gleaning from the testimony, how much better each of the states did after the inception of one of these that was implanted in their state as opposed to before it was and the advantages thereof. Is there some statistics or some data out there which could give us some sort of an assurance that this does produce what it's intended to do?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, I'd be happy to work with Mr. Gorin and the National Association of Defense Communities and see if there's some information out there for you following committee.
And to the committee. Thank you.
And to the committee as a whole, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Story.
Yes, thank you, Chair Tuck. Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, I'm trying.
Just real quick, we're kind of getting into general questions about the bill. I just wanted to make sure we're unless you have something for Mr. Stewart, I kind of wanted to relieve him if we don't have any further questions for him. Okay, hearing and seeing none, I do have one question. Will you please send me your recipe for your eggnog? other than that, and you want it's up to the committee. You guys might have some clarifying questions. I do have, I do want to open up for public testimony real quick, and then maybe we'll be able to go for it. Representative Story.
Yes, thank you, Chair Tuck. Yes, a clarifying question to your response to the prior question about an explanation about the governor's office having capacity. Am I hearing you to say that you believe the governor's office does have current capacity to take someone from in their economic development council to be tasked with this? Or please help
Representative
my understanding
Story
of that.
Yes, I do believe that they would have the capacity to do that without having a new full-time employee under this specifically. I did want to just mention anecdotally to Representative Rauscher's question before about past successes. The Tiger Team in Fairbanks has been wildly successful, whether it was bringing the groups, the entities in Fairbanks together to push back on warm storage of Eielson, putting together the effort to get the F-35s coming to Fairbanks, then after that continuing its mission to make sure that the housing of those veterans and their families would be effective and ready, and the community had the efforts it needed, which then also dovetailed well with bringing in the Gray Eagle drone force that's been stationed at Fort Wainwright, as well as the Apache wing that has come to Fort Wainwright and Fairbanks, and the KC-43s, the new refueler wing that is, I believe, being stationed up at Eielson as well. All of those were products of the Tiger Team in Fairbanks, but I'll get some others that are less anecdotal specifically from the National Association of Defense Communities, like I said.
Okay, follow-up?
Follow-up. It's not my turn to talk. I didn't know how to say that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Representative Rauscher.
You might want to ask the other representative. She has a follow-up comment of her own.
Thank you, Chair Tuck. I know you want to go to public testimony, but my follow-up was to Representative Hopkins and my question. So this fiscal note would be changed?
Representative Story, I believe there was supposed to be somebody from the administration online to talk about it, if there is or not. I'm not
okay,
sure.
So before we take up discussion on amendments, I read you want to go to public testimony, and we do have Caroline Schultz that's with us, the policy analysis for OMB, that we can take this up a little bit later. So with that, I'd like to open up public testimony. Public testimony is open. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify? Hearing and seeing none, I'm going to turn it over to those online or on teleconference. Looks like we may have Mike Coons to testify. Mr. Coons, are you available?
Yes.
Please go ahead and state your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. My name is Mike Coons. I'm speaking for myself. I've read HB 144 and talked to the sponsor staff. I have more questions than answers as to if this is really needed, cost-effective, and or duplicative as what's already being done with the Tiger team and what the other, all the bases and posts are doing from an economic standpoint and housing does for the troops, etc. My understanding is an amendment is coming to delete a position that is a pay grade that will add another state employee at the cost of over $100,000 a year. If Mr. Bourne, as Mr. Bourne pointed out, that person would be the point, then why would we have a commission? We are in a spending problem, yet the sponsor wants to add for staff at a more cost. The question is this commission really needed and a real bang for the buck? And looking at this, a lot of duplication of what is being done already. We have the U.S. congressional delegation that works these issues already. That means they're in contact with North Pole, Fairbanks, Delta Junction, Anchorage, Eagle River, Palmer, and Wasilla as to economic impacts, housing, etc. All base posts have housing officers, the offices that work with the locals and the troops as to housing availabilities, responsibilities to the members and the landlords, etc. I do not see a viable and justifiable need for this commission. When I have more questions than answers, and even when the answers, when I give them the answers, they don't make sense and are not logical, I go with my gut and say no. Thus, as the United States Air Force NCO of 20 years, stationed at Elmendorf and many other bases, and having dealt with available housing, seeing the economies of those cities relating to the military, I cannot support this adding a new commission at the cost and time that will be spent for a duplication of efforts already being done. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Coons. Any questions for the testifier? Hearing and seeing none. Thank you very much for your testimony. Do we have anyone else online? Seeing nobody else online. Nobody else in the room. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. Discussion. Representative Story, did you have more questions you wanted to ask about to the bill sponsor?
If he could clarify a little bit about what he felt would happen with the fiscal note or his thoughts, that would be appreciative. If he's not ready at this time, that's okay too.
Certainly, Representative Story, through the chair, to be clear on the, for clarification on the fiscal note, I did not write the fiscal note. I did not ask for an additional position to be created for the commission. The fiscal note was written by the governor's office, and so if they're available to speak about why they believe they need an entire another position, that would be their responsibility or something we could address in the finance committee as well.
Okay, and with that, Ms. Schultz, are you available, and did you hear the question? Do we still have Caroline Schultz online? Give her a moment to unmute.
Hi, this is Caroline Schultz from the Office of Management and Budget.
Thank you, Ms. Schultz. The question is really about the additional personnel in the governor's budget to be able to administer this program. Can you speak to that for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The governor's office and the office of lieutenant governor, in order to fully support the intent of the legislation and the commission as proposed, really identified the need for an additional dedicated staff, not only to provide the administrative services, but really to provide the policy support and the kind of ongoing targeted, you know, policy-related direction at the statewide governor's office level. The position is required in order for this group, you know, which only is required to meet four times a year, to have a year-round functioning, you know, policy directive.
Thank you very much. Any further questions for Ms. Schultz? Representative Story.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. Through the chair, Ms. Schultz. So I don't know if you've been able to be online and hear the discussion that we've been having, but there is some thought that a position could be moved from the economic development to include work on this commission. Do you have any thoughts to add on that, the possibility of that working out?
Through the chair, to Representative Story, I did hear that part of the discussion. I think the economic development team is working, you know, more than full time right now. You're correct, that could be a possible direction, and if the legislature chooses not to appropriate funding for an additional position to support this commission, that would have to be considered. However, I think having this work compete with other governor's office priorities would ultimately result in a less effective organization and the intent of this legislation being executed, you know, less thoroughly.
Follow up.
Through the chair, thank you for that. I know we want to make sure all our military commissions are working together well and as efficiently as possible. And I am wondering if there is, I would appreciate this idea of the economic development person and the capacity for this to happen through the governor's office, if you could bring back the concerns, if the sponsor would like this, of course, to bring back that information.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention that we do have an amendment that has been drafted here before us. Is there any amendments to be moved? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one to the bill.
I'm going to object for the purposes of discussion, although we've had quite a bit of discussion. I would like to add to the discussion that if the governor's office isn't already doing this, they should have been doing it with their economic team. This is really just formalizing it. And so I see this as a part of that economic team's function already, not something that's additional. I mean, if you're looking at economic opportunities, how can this be overlooked? So I would like to, I'll tell you what I would have liked to have added to the budget, and that was that one maintenance worker that was being subsidized by the federal government. That, you know, in our budget subcommittee process earlier. But on this, my opinion is on this one right here, I don't think it's necessary needed to add an additional personnel, especially when the bill sponsor didn't ask for that. When we have an economic team that's been put together to look at these kind of issues already. Representative Rauscher.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if we can ask the maker of the amendment to present it.
Representative Nelson, if you would like to speak to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment in front of you right now is a very simple one. All it will be doing is fixing the title of one section and then deleting lines 4 through 5 on page 3 and reflecting what the chairman had said already. You know, the economic team should already be focusing on moving this. It's important to not just Anchorage, not just the Fairbanks, but to all of Alaska. We saw in previous conversations and I do not believe that there needs to be a full-time person for this, as there already should be one focusing on putting military construction and military economy up here in the state. So that's why I offer this amendment.
Thank you very much. Any further discussions? Is the amendment understood? I'm going to remove my objection. Is there any further objection to amendment? Amendment number one is adopted. Are there any further discussions on House Bill 144? Hearing and seeing no further discussion, what is the will of the committee? Representative Story.
Would you like a motion or some discussion?
A motion, please.
Okay, thank you. I move House Bill 144, Work Order 32-LS0486/I, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and an accompanying fiscal note.
Any objections? Hearing and seeing no objections, House Bill 144, Work Order 32-LS0486 /I is going to be moving out of committee with amendment, attached amendment, and attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Okay, that's the last of our agenda for today. Congratulations, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, very much for your work today.
Just a note, we will not be meeting on Tuesday, April 20th. Our next meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will be Thursday, April 22nd at 1 p.m. here in the Gruenberg Room, where we'll be taking up SB 40, the Veterans Benefits Services and Disclosures by Senator Rivac, and then HJR 16, Among Veterans Military Rights by Representative Nelson. If there's no further business before the committee, we are now adjourned at 1:47 p.m.